Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then moving to the New Testament, the book of Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Father, we thank you for your word which daily counsels us, encourages us, guides us, strengthens us, and empowers us to walk with you. Thank you for your word which also equips us to be warriors on the battlefield of life. Father, more and more empower us to be the believers who you've called to walk in your love, your compassion, your grace in a world where so many people are hurting, so many people are challenged and going through so many different kinds of storms. Father, we do lift up our nation to you, Father. We ask that you pour out your healing grace upon our nation. We ask that you'd pour out your spirit of revival on our nation. And Lord, also we ask that you'd bring about the solution to the coronavirus. And Lord, we know that you, Jesus, are the solution, Lord. Give the right individuals the wisdom and the grace to know what to do to address it, Lord. And bring this, just bring about the resolution in such a way that great praise, glory, and honor will go to you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our producer is Rick Robertson, and he's going to say a word of prayer for the broadcast today as well.
Father, we're so thankful to know that you've gathered a group of people together today to listen to this broadcast and that you have a message for them. We pray that you will give Joseph and Jeff the words to say and the listeners ears to hear, and they will cling to truth and they will apply it to their lives. They will run with it in a way that brings you much honor and much glory. Father, if there's one listening who doesn't know you as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day that you rescue them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We want to remind you about our AFR app. It's where you can listen to all three of our radio formats whenever you choose to. You can download the programs or listen to podcasts that have been broadcast as well. So hope that you'll take time to download the AFR app. And also keep in mind, One News Now, they also have an app. It features the day's news from a biblical perspective, including the latest breaking stories in the U.S. and around the world. So I hope you'll take advantage of those apps that are readily available as well. And I want to remind you once again, too, we continue to encourage you to take time to email me to get a copy of the prayer, Psalm 91, a prayer based on Psalm 91. Remember, we live in a society in a day and time where lots and lots of people are afraid because of the coronavirus, afraid of shootings and so many things that are going on in our culture. There are all kinds of storms all around us, but we serve a God that is bigger than all the storms, bigger than the coronavirus, bigger than any of the problems or challenges or storms in our lives. Psalm 91 is a wonderful weapon of protection God has given us in His Word. And so if you'd email us, we'd be glad. We'd like to send you a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer for you to pray over yourself and your family, but also share with others. Because remember, Jesus really is the answer to all of our problems. Jesus, who is the Word of God, our challenges, all that we're dealing with in our society today. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. I'm going to take a quick moment now to pray the Psalm 91 prayer, and we invite you to pray with us as well. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say to the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, nor does any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We are blessed and honored to have with us in studio today, Jeff Reed. Jeff is a part of our AFA family here. Jeff is the producer, one of the producers for the Hamilton Corner and Focal Point, both heard here on the AFR network. Jeff, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And Jeff, you know, I know it was some time ago when I first heard your testimony, I thought it was such a powerful story, a powerful journey the Lord has brought you through so many different challenges in your life and put you in ministry. And I felt like right away your story was a story that could bless and encourage a lot of people. So before we start into you sharing your testimony, tell our listeners just a little bit more about Jeff Reed.
Well, like you said, I produce for Brian Fisher and Abraham Hamilton III, which I like to think of as free college that I get paid for under the leadership and guidance of those two is pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. Really enjoy the whole concept of family here. My wife works here as well. She writes for the AFA Journal. Mm-hmm. We get to work together and share a home together and family, and it's been a real blessing.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jeff, again, I'm going to ask you just in your own way to start. Again, there's so much to your story. Share with our listeners your journey with the Lord.
Yeah. Well, I would like to make a little bit of a adjustment to it being my testimony. I think as you listen through this, it's more a testimony about what God does in people's lives when they surrender fully to Him. Mm-hmm. That's as you hear this, this is going to make sense. I want to start with a little bit of an obscure story that seems a little detached, but later on it'll make sense. Mm-hmm. I used to live in California, Southern California, near the beach, and I used to often go out to the cliff that overlooked the beach, and half of it was beach and the other was cliff. And there was a big rock in the middle of the beach. Mm-hmm. And I used to sit up there from my vantage point and watch the waves roll in from way far off. Hmm. And they would come in collision with this rock and create an enormous spray of water that would gather everybody's attention. Everybody would be around that rock watching the waves crash against the rock. And not so many on the beach, but the rock was the center of attention. Now, we'll move on to... I used to work at Caesar's Palace.
In Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, right? And, you know, I started off in high school smoking a little marijuana, and you think, well, that's not so bad. And it's funny how we rationalize and justify drug use or sin, for that matter. Progressed into cocaine, and I thought, well, at least I don't smoke it. A lot of people were smoking crack cocaine at that time. Well, then you're smoking crack cocaine. You say, at least I'm not doing meth. And then you start doing meth and you say, at least I'm not smoking it. And then you're smoking it and you say, well, at least I'm not shooting it. And that's where I ended up, shooting methamphetamine. But the one thing I did notice about in my cocaine use, one thing I did notice about a lot of the customers coming to Caesar's Palace, I worked in a gourmet restaurant. They had a lot of money. They wanted to come to Las Vegas. They wanted to party, but they didn't want to fly or move from come from other states with the risk of having party materials with them. So I provided a service, and I didn't need the money. We made plenty of money. It was more of a feeling of acceptance from people that I aspired to be and looked up to. So it turned into a lot of the party, and that's when it started progressing to smoking cocaine. And I ended up you can't maintain a good job if you're smoking cocaine. And I eventually lost that and started making money otherwise in other manners that were not of the legal type, and sustaining my drug use that way. And it kind of led to me getting in trouble with the law.
Well, Jeff, real quick, I want to just jump in here and mention that, you know, something that I think it's so important for us as believers to keep in mind is that drug use leads to so many difficulties and problems and challenges in life. And a lot of people are now, of course, especially when people don't have that challenge in their family, they don't know what it's like. But on the other hand, life goes from one storm to the next in the lives of those that have that challenge. I want to take a moment to pray for families. Father, we lift up right now. There are listeners who may be dealing with family members or loved ones who are dealing with drug addiction or challenges with drugs. Lord, Father, pour out your spirit of wisdom and grace and insight to better understand that these are serious challenges in life, and that we as believers need to take it seriously in terms of praying for our loved ones, praying for them to get into rehab when needed, but for them to be delivered from the monster of drug addiction, which causes so many difficulties and so many problems, not only in the life of the addict, but the life of the families as well. Help us as the church to rise up and take seriously these kinds of challenges and to recognize that this is all of our problem and issue because the body of Christ represents you, and we're your ambassadors in the world. Help us to be about your business, to have ears to hear, and to reach out to those that are hurting in their families as they try to help their loved ones. And help us as leaders in the body of Christ to learn how to come alongside those persons who have those challenges, who are dealing with them in their lives as well. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our in-studio guest today is Jeff Reed. He's the producer of the Hamilton Corner and focal point here at AFA. We'll be right back.
Every day I face a million Different ways I gotta trust. But there's only one decision: how to live, how to love Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices. I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices.
The music of J.J. Weeks, the song Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Jeff Reed. He's a part of the AFA family. Jeff is sharing his story, his journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeff, if you'll pick up where you left off.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say a lot of people that have listened to your programs are drawn to it because of the spirit of peace, your soothing voice, the choice of music. And that's something that seems to be elusive to a lot of people, or have been elusive to people at periods of time. Mm-hmm. And it goes with that song. Our life is a bunch of choices.
That's
and
right.
A lot of times that peace is elusive because we make bad choices.
Exactly.
My story of the past, and it was a lot of bad choices, which where we left off was drug use, loss of jobs.
Loss your work, okay.
And breaking the law to maintain a drug habit. Mm-hmm. This makes you familiar with the local police department.
Mm-hmm.
And in and out of jail, always felt like I had the charm or the I was a little above everything. I had this feeling that I would be able to slip out of everything. And it did seem like I was getting slaps on the wrist most of the time, you know, slap on the hand and told to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in jail one time, and I couldn't quite hear what the judge said when he pronounced my sentence. And so the lawyer came back. I said, "What happened?" He goes, "You're going to prison."
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, man. Reality hits you in the face when you get a prison sentence. Jail, I'd grown accustomed to. I could do a little jail time and then mm-hmm. go back to the streets. But this was different. And they have a tradition in jails. When you get a prison sentence, they give you a little time to your room alone. And I went back to my room, crawled on the bunk, and laid there. And they have another thing in jail and prison. They call it the silent cry. It's one of the worst ones that you can have. I mean, you're crying inside, but you don't dare express it because somebody might see you and think of a sign of weakness. So I just sit there in misery. And I was talking to God for the first time in a long time. I wasn't raised in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him, but real, mm-hmm. very real. I was crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could call it praying. I didn't realize it at the time. But I was realizing that I'd just thrown my life away.
Mm.
There were things I wanted in life. There were plans that I had. I had a strategy of what I wanted to do that was all interrupted by misery and drugs. And as I was sitting there praying, I kind of saw an image of God in my mind, mm-hmm. of Jesus on the cross with the crown of thorns.
Mm-hmm.
And the beaten face, and he was looking at me with those eyes that knew everything about me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Jeff, I love you." And I was kind of like, "Yeah, I know that, but look what's happened."
Mm-hmm.
And the eyes said, "Look, I understand." And I said, I know, but look what I've done. Mm-hmm. And then the eyes said, but I want to take that for you. And that crushed me. It was. Remember when I was talking about the waves coming mm-hmm. and hitting the rock? Mm-hmm. Well, those waves were like the plans of my life. It mm-hmm. came in collision with the rock. Mm-hmm. And when the eternal collides with the temporal and the mm-hmm. physical, mm-hmm. something's going to change, and it's not going to be that rock. Mm-hmm. So it creates a spray. What people gather around to see, and I believe that was the moment God collided with my life, although I had done nothing in my life to deserve that. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in my plans that included God. Mm-hmm. But that collision changed everything. Mm-hmm. It was at that moment that I realized that I had acknowledged God. I even believed in him, mm-hmm. kind of as a philosophy in life, mm-hmm. but a philosophy isn't going to maintain you in moments like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So a surrender changed everything. Mm-hmm. And I knew from that moment that I was going to trust God mm-hmm. in everything because I had nothing left.
So that was the point at which you basically committed your life to the Lord?
Yeah. Surrendered is the best way I would call it. Yeah, that's where you fully mm-hmm. surrendered. Like I had not acknowledged him, but yeah, that was the life-changing moment. Mm-hmm. I knew from that point forward that I was going to go into prison as a disciple of the King. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was ahead of me. There was a lot of fear, but mm-hmm. I knew I was going to trust him in that. So
that's good.
Off to prison I went.
Mm-hmm. Well, before you go further, Jeff, I want to ask if you'll pray for persons that are listening, that maybe men or women that might be incarcerated right now who are in prison. And, you know, in your case, you know, as much as prison can seem like just a tremendous tragedy, and in so many ways, of course, it is. But on the other hand, you met Christ there. You met the Lord, and so the most important decision of your life, you made a commitment to the Lord there, and so it ended up being a place of grace for you. Would you pray for persons listening that they would come to realize that Jesus really is the answer to the problems and all the challenges of life?
Well, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We come to you. What a privilege it is to come to you and make our prayers known. Lord God, we just ask that you reach men and women that are incarcerated right now, that are tired of wearing masks, tired of being in control. All this control has brought us to a place where we have no control. We're told when to eat, when we can go out in the sunshine, when we can't, what we can wear, everything. Total loss of control. Lord, we know that there are people that are hurting, that are missing family, children, deeply. They're experiencing that silent cry. And that silent cry has been with them for too long. Lord God, we ask that you meet them in that place of desperation,
yes.
That you be their comforter, that you be their joy, you be their consistency, you be their hope. Lord, we ask that you comfort them in this time. We ask that you give them a spirit of boldness,
yes.
and courage to live life for you,
yes,
in full view, and that you will be their protection and their guide through the rest of their sentence. Lord, let the changes start now. Let us not fool ourselves into thinking that we can change once we get out. Lord, be their change now.
Thank you.
Be that rock.
Thank you.
And may their plans be an amazement, that collision, the ocean spray of their lives, be an amazement of the fellow prisoners around them, their family. Let there be restoration.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, most of all, we ask for your peace in their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. And so you've surrendered your life to Christ just as you're about to enter prison, at the beginning of your prison sentence. Then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. One thing you'll notice about prison, and this is no secret, it's very racially charged. A lot of gangs, definitely separated by race. And that's pretty prevalent. They have a lot of rules. Like I said, you know, we run the streets thinking we don't have to live by anybody's rules. Well, you get to prison, there's a lot of rules put on by the guards and the prison warden. That's nothing compared to the rules that the gangs put on you. And anybody that's in there or has been in there knows exactly what I'm talking about. So we were separated. There's different chapels you can go to. Where I was in Nevada, the most of the, I'll call them what they were, Aryan warriors, AWs for short. Most of those were Odinists, kind of a Viking Norse religion, very racially charged. Most of the Mexicans went to a Catholic church, a chapel, and a majority of the blacks went to Muslim gatherings. Now, when I say a chapel, you'd think that there'd be some kind of religious enlightenment at these chapels. No, it's an excuse to get together in secrecy with members of other units, do a lot of drug exchanges, and call a lot of shots of what's going to happen. So it's not really a religious chapel at all. There was one that was a non-denominational chapel that I attended. That's a place I wanted. There was Bible teaching and praising God and worship and music. It happened to be predominantly black, and that caused a problem for me with the AWs. I came out on the yard one day, and about five of them surrounded me, all with the skinhead tats all over. And when they gather around you in a circle, it's a little unnerving. And one of them got in my face. They said, "Hey, we like who you are, but you can't be hanging at this chapel with the brothers." And I remember a scripture coming to mind at that moment. If you're ashamed of me and my word, I will be ashamed of you also. And I thought, this is my stand. I got to take a stand. And we think of moments like that, that our faces will shine like Stephen as he's about to be stoned. It's not always like that. It was actually, my knees were shaking. I was quite...
pretty intimidating situation.
Yes. Yeah. But I knew that I had to say something. So I told him, I said, "Look, if anything breaks off in the yard, you know where I stand. But when it comes to God, I will share with and join with anybody on this yard." And he looked at me, he mad dogged me, looked me in the eye and said, "We'll be back with you." And anybody that's in prison knows that's not a good thing. So you spend a lot of time in your cell, not coming out. You're a little concerned, watching your back, not, you know, trying to get into any corners on the yard. Well, I went to chapel the next week. I came back. They always search you. So as I'm coming back into the unit, the guards searched me and said, "You're Jeff Reed from C-16. I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Put your hands behind your back." And locked me up. He says, "You're going to the hole." And I'm like, "You got some kind of mistake. I'm not clicked up with any of the gangs. I'll stay out of trouble." He says, "Nope, Reed. C-16, you're going to the hole." Well, it turns out once I get there, the AWs, they liked me because I wasn't a rat, and at least I was honest about what I said. I had some character, and they try to work with anybody that has character. The worst thing to be in prison is a liar or a rat. And I'm just using those terms, you know. Well, they had put a lot of paraphernalia in my room while I was at the church that I was not supposed to have, put escape maps and things like that, and told the guard that they overheard me saying that I wanted to escape. Their plan was that I would go to the hole and that's where a lot of the soldiers go, the ones that do the dirty work for the shot callers on the yard. Mm-hmm. They go to the hole after fights and things like that. They figure if I spent time back there with them, I'd get my mind right. Mm-hmm. And
so they framed you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So I spent my first 6 months and my first Christmas in the hole. Mm-hmm. And you're basically locked up for 23 hours. You get out for 1 hour. You can go around and talk to people in the room. Well, mm-hmm. the deal with that is you're not allowed to get out to go to the chow hall to eat. So they bring in the food, mm-hmm. and they select a few people to pass it out to each cell, mm-hmm. and feed the cellies. And for some odd reason, I know now it was God. Mm-hmm. They picked me to be one of the people to do that. Well, I noticed very quickly that we would put one scoop of everything out there and pass it out. There'd be a lot of food left over, and it would get thrown away. Hmm. So I talked to the guard. That's not an easy thing to do either, to talk to the guards with everybody watching. But I convinced him, look, how about we offer the extra food to anybody that's still hungry.
We're going to jump in here, coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there. Our in-studio guest today is Jeff Reed, who's one of our producers here at AFR. We'll be right back. Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Jeff Reed. He's one of our producers here at American Family Radio, and Jeff is sharing a powerful story of his journey with the Lord. If you'll pick up, Jeff, where you left off there.
Yeah, like I said, I convinced the guards to allow us to feed the prisoners with extra food that was left over that previously was getting thrown away. Mm-hmm. And I devised a plan to do it in a way that would – he said we could do it as long as there was no problems. As soon as there was a problem, it would all be over.
Okay.
So there happened to be two white guys, mm-hmm. two Mexicans, and two black guys that were the trustees that were doing the feeding. So mm-hmm. we devised a plan that I would take care of the white guys, they would take care of the Mexicans, and that way everything – nobody would argue about a thing. Mm-hmm. Well, to make a long story short, I came out of the hole with a pretty good reputation amongst the AWs because they heard about this, mm-hmm. and I had taken care of their soldiers in a way that they were thankful for.
Mm-hmm. So, and it was really God's grace working through you and His wisdom.
Absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. I had no say in being part of that. That was a decision made by the guards, and mm-hmm. they knew nothing about me. So I have no doubt that was God directing mm-hmm. the plans. And so when I came out, I had to find a new cellie. Well, the number two shot caller on the yard, there's each race has a different shot caller. They try to resolve the problems before there's inter-race kind of fights or things, because if there's a fight between two white guys, it's those two people get disciplined. If there's a fight between the races, they fear a riot. So everybody gets put on lockdown, and nobody mm-hmm. wants that. So anyways, the shot caller that asked me to be his celly, and he happened to be the one bringing in the drugs mm-hmm. to the prison.
So drugs are, drugs are pretty freely available in prison.
Unfortunately, yes. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for every prison, but this prison, yes. Mm-hmm. So he brought that. He asked me to be a cellie, and he said that his former cellies were starting to use too much and putting him at risk. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, why me?" And he says, "Well, you're a Christian." And I said, "But you know my problems." And he goes, "Yeah, but you're a Christian." Mm-hmm. I said, well, let me pray about this. So I prayed about it. I went back to chapel, and of course everybody's like, no, that guy's a bad dude. You don't want to be around him. Mm-hmm. But the Lord said yes, and mm-hmm. we spent a lot of time together. What this did was gave me the freedom now that nobody touched me, even though I wasn't a part of the gang. Mm-hmm. My cellie was high ranked. Mm-hmm. So I could play basketball with the blacks. I could play soccer with the Mexicans. I could play baseball with the whites. Now, I was on my own. If anything broke off, nobody would come and rescue me. But mm-hmm. it gave me a freedom in prison that was unexplainable if you leave God out. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say we had a lot of conversations. I'd like to say that man got saved, mm-hmm. but not while I was there. Mm-hmm. I got out of prison and was ready to start life over, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And
how long were you in prison?
3 years.
3 years, okay.
Yeah, and then they actually let me out into a drug rehab early. So I go to this drug rehab, mm-hmm. and they have a two-week kind of assessment thing, and they said, Jeff, you already know what to do. You need to do it. Mm-hmm. And a novel concept, huh? Yeah, I just need to do it. So they were kicking me out after 2 weeks being there, and I was like, "No, I'm here. I'm part of the courts brought me here. I have to stay." Mm-hmm. And they said, "No, we've already talked to him. You can go." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Great," except for the only problem was I had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. So I called my parents. My parents didn't want anything to do with me. I had done so much damage to my mm-hmm. family that. They didn't trust me for a minute, and I don't blame them, but it hurt, and I had no idea where I was going to go. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this pastor came from one of the poorest parts, gang-ridden parts of Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and he came to pick me up. He was a black guy.
Mm-hmm. So he knew you then?
He didn't know me. He didn't mm-hmm. know me. He heard about me. Mm-hmm. And came to get me. So now I'm a part of a church in gang territory, living in a house with six other black guys. I was the only white guy in the church, and I thought, well, I'm not racist because I made it through prison without any of that, and then I love my brothers. But I realized at that moment that there may be something inside of you that isn't obviously racist, but I think I took a little too much pride at being white, mm-hmm. if that makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. And this was burned out of me because now this became my family. These were the ones that loved me. Mm-hmm. These were my brothers that had been through struggles similar to mine. Mm-hmm. And that was a very special moment in my life. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say everything was easy. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. There were some challenges.
But that's where you experienced discipleship and love and acceptance.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's good.
Now, the other thing I want to say to people that are in prison or just out of prison, one thing I did learn right away is do not rush. When we say we trust God, mm-hmm. See, there's a tendency to want to make up for lost time. Mm-hmm. You want to restore relationships because you want them done. Mm-hmm. I said I'm sorry to my father for almost 10 years. and he wouldn't accept that. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord showed me that I wasn't asking for forgiveness from my father. I was demanding it. And there's mm-hmm. a big difference. I was getting upset because he wasn't forgiving me. And when you ask for forgiveness, you have to realize that, you know, those people have to, you have to give them the opportunity to truly forgive you. Mm-hmm. And demanding it, it would be like demanding forgiveness, you know, mm-hmm. in a, at a deeper level.
It's not
level.
Something you demand.
Yeah, exactly. It's a gift.
Right.
It's a gift. Mm.
And so once you joined this church or part of this church family and you kind of really got back on your feet in terms of work and that sort of thing, once you got out there?
No, I was actually couldn't find work because of my felonies. Mm-hmm. I worked at a grocery store, was making, I think, $400 a month, but my bills were $400. I was sweeping floors and pushing carts in from, in the Las Vegas summer is not a pleasant thing to do. Mm-hmm. I still trusted God. I was getting upset one time out there pushing the carts. Mm-hmm. And it was hot, and I would say hi to people trying to be friendly, and they'd just look down on me. And I was angry, and I'm like, Lord, is this what I'm saved for? I mean, is this all there's going to be? And he hit me in the head with this. He spoke to me in a way, said, look, you know what? Just a month or so ago, you would have traded your shoes, your coffee, or anything just to be out here pushing these carts mm-hmm. for one day without a gun on the rack above you, keeping guard on you. Mm-hmm. You would have traded everything to do that. Why are you so unthankful? Mm-hmm. And I was like, at that moment, I started loving that job. Mm-hmm. I started loving that job. Now, I we're running out of time, so I have to get to this part. Mm-hmm. While I was in prison, one of the chaplains, I used to write a lot of poems and stories and stuff, and I'd give them to the chaplain. When I got out, I didn't know it, but he had been reading these on the air. Mm-hmm. So when I got out, he asked me to come over and be a part of the radio show and maybe talk for a little bit about help explain. Because so many parents or wives or husbands and sons and daughters have somebody that's incarcerated mm-hmm. or at least in some type of addiction. Right. And he wanted me to come on and address that. Well, we got done with that show. And he says, well, hey, let's do this once a week. Mm-hmm. And it led into me being his co-host mm-hmm. and then a job at the radio station. I had no plan to be in radio. I knew mm-hmm. nothing about radio. Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting a job there and then getting my own show where in Las Vegas, a lot of people have addictions. We would address addictions. What we found mm-hmm. is a lot of people will sit in church even and not be able to talk about it because of the shame and guilt involved with it. Mm-hmm. So they needed an anonymous place to call in. A radio program was perfect, mm-hmm. and we would address these issues. Well, that was one thing led to another, and here I am mm-hmm. at American Family Radio. Then that was that
still
was,
in radio, serving the Lord.
Yeah, and I've never read a book on radio. I've mm-hmm. always trusted God for every bit of production that I do because there were times where I'd be stuck and I don't not know what to do. Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord always comes through. Mm-hmm. Today, I call senators, I call well-known pastors and preachers and try to arrange this. I have relationships with people. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. And this comes from one simple thing. I've learned that the Bible, which I didn't have anybody in prison teaching me how to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Lord, you get in there, the Lord will speak to you if you open up that Bible. Mm-hmm. One thing I've learned about reading the Bible is from the very beginning to the very end is the Lord saying, trust me. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking people that are incarcerated, that are freshly out, those that are in addiction, those family members that don't understand what's happening with your child or spouse, mm-hmm. trust the Lord. Mm. That's the answer, mm-hmm. is trust God.
You know, Jeff, what you just mentioned is actually huge in terms of us better understanding one of the many powerful messages of God's word. But one is, the Bible says, he clearly tells us, the just shall live by faith. And just like you said, from Genesis to Revelation, one of the messages God tells his children always is, trust me, listen to my word, do what I tell you, and watch me guide you.
And may I add, at first that's not easy. Mm-hmm. At first it's a leap of faith. I think they call it that for a reason. Well, I think if you're afraid of trusting God, start with a small step. Mm-hmm. You'll find that you'll want to step again. And before you know it, there will be a track record and evidence of God in your life that will give you, you won't have a blind faith anymore. You'll have a reason to trust. You can look back and see the track record of God's fingerprints in your life, and it will increase your faith day by day.
Mm-hmm. And another beautiful side of your story is that, and all of our stories really, is God can be trusted. He can be trusted. You know, like, we live in a world that in many ways the world seems so uncertain and without stability outside of God. And so I want to challenge every person listening. If you're not saved, then I would challenge you to make the step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, because life is all about God and knowing Jesus, God and knowing him, you know, knowing Jesus Christ and walking with his will. And, you know, Jeff, I pretty regularly try to challenge individuals to start the habit of reading 3 chapters a day. And one of the beauties is the word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the word. And if you want God to talk to you, just like you were referring to, you open the word of God, God will talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll draw you closer to himself, but he'll teach you about himself, about life and wisdom. The word of God really is, it's the answer book for all of life, and we're wise to become diligent students of it. So every listener, I will challenge you, whether you're a believer or not, start reading God's word, because it is the guidebook for all of life. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for sharing your story. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. My email is again jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you want to receive Christ and have not, and you want more information about how to come to know the Lord or how to grow up in your faith, please email me again at jparker@afa.net. Hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.